And we've been tracing through in the scriptures some of the prophecies concerning or surrounding the birth of Jesus. And we've looked at the timing of his birth, we've looked at the place of his birth, we've looked at a couple of weeks back the seed of the woman. And I want to look at something tonight really in really just trying to bring this to a conclusion. The names, or some of the names, titles and designations that were given him in prophecy and at his birth. Now, names are important. Perhaps not so much today as they used to be. You know, parents choose names for their children based on a number of different factors. And it might be after some family member, like a great-grandfather. And you'll find in some families that the first-born male is always called John or something like that, because, you know, it's the way they hand the name down. They name it after some family member, or maybe even after somebody that was influential in their life. You've all perhaps heard stories where perhaps a taxi driver has helped deliver the child on the way to hospital, and out of respect or out of that, they've named it after the taxi driver. Or they've called their boy Cab or something like that. But maybe some others, and some might choose a name that comes from a book, or after some movie star or some celebrity. That's if you look at the names of children, you can tell which era they were born in, some of them, by the names that they have. You know, you find quite a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago, a lot of girls were called Kylie, and you know, they go through, now there's a lot called Kira, and you know, they name it after the celebrities that they follow on the TV and in the magazines. Or maybe, as in the case of the Beckhams, they name their child after a place that was special to them. But whatever our reasons for choosing the name for a child, the majority of people, I think, don't really give any thought to the meaning of the name. You know, and the meaning of the name is very important, particularly when we're looking at the scriptures and we trace through the scriptures the various people. Because certainly in scriptures, great importance was placed on giving the child their name. And in most cases, the name of the child defines their character. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at, and I know this isn't really anything to do with what we're going to be looking at tonight, but if you look at the life of Jacob, or you look at Jacob, you see that his name means supplanter or deceiver. And as you trace his story, you see that he certainly was a man that deceived. He deceived his father, he deceived his brother. He lived up to his name. There were others in the scriptures. Thinking of the slave, Onesimus, that the Apostle Paul sent back to Philemon. And Onesimus' name meant useless. And Paul writes, particularly in the letter to Philemon, he says, I want you to receive him back that he may be useful to you. You know, rather than live up to his name, he wants to be useful. Another one in the scriptures is Jabez, who petitioned God and said, Lord, I don't want to live up to my name. I don't want to cause anybody pain. You know, we see these names. They define the character of the person. We see the struggle and pressure that some had in naming their child, particularly the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, when it came to naming John, if you look at it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And you'll see that the family wanted them to name the baby Zacharias. And Elizabeth and Zacharias said, no, his name is John. They said, well, who else is named John in the family? They said, no, this is his name. And it was a struggle. There was pressure there. You know, in today's society, some may pressurize us when it comes to naming children. I've got to say this because it made me smile. My auntie, now she's in her 90s now, and she's not a Christian. But she had news many years ago that one of her friends, I think it was her friend's daughter or something, had given birth to a little boy. And they named him Adam. And my auntie, in her true style, she says, "What on earth have they named him Adam for? Who's ever heard of Adam?" What sort of name is Adam? And you get pressure from some family. Why do you want to name the child that? You know, they'll hate you when they get older. You know, that's the pressure they put on. Maybe some of the names, yes. People need pressure put in on them to change them. But really, it's up to the parents. Well, then you look at people like Jacob, Abram, Simon. You know, God had to change their names. Why? Because God wanted to do something or doing something in their life which their name was contrary to what he wanted to do. Someone like Jacob, who was deceiver, became Israel, the prince with God. Abram, whose name means a lofty father. You know, God had to change his name to be father of many nations, Abraham. Simon, whose name meant here, or to hear. Jesus changed his name to Peter, meaning the rock. You know, God had to change their names. Now, certain names and designations were attributed to Jesus. And thank God, none of these needed to be changed. But they do show us, and it's important for our study, when we're looking at the prophecies, we learn about who Jesus is, what his birth means for us, and to the world to whom he was given. So we're going to begin. I just want to quickly look at three names of the Lord tonight. And that'll be very familiar names to you. And perhaps we can turn up Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, because we're looking at the names given to him in prophecy and at the time of his birth. And in Matthew 1:21, we read, these words: "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." What a name, Jesus. "You will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You know, this prophetic word spoken to Joseph, you know, where the angel of the Lord here gives him the name Jesus. "You shall call his name Jesus." Now, Jesus is the personal name for him who was to be born of a virgin. And it's the most often used name for him in the New Testament. And it's the name by which we refer to him. Now, his name, just for information, you'll find the name Jesus is found in the very first and the last verses of the New Testament. The opening verse of the New Testament says, let me read it to you, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And the last verse, in Revelation 22:21, says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The first and the last. Now, Jesus, you're probably aware of this, I'm going to tell you anyway, but Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua. And the name means, really, as the angel spoke to Joseph, it means Savior, or the salvation of God. And it's important to us because it reveals to us one of the prime reasons for Jesus' birth. Now, he came to save his people, the angel said, from their sins. Now, there's other things the scripture tells us he saved us from. He saved us from Satan, from death, from hell, from the law, from the wrath that's to come. But one of the prime reasons was that he is Savior. That is his the prime reason for him coming, to save us. He is Savior. Now, salvation is not something. We often refer to salvation as a thing. Salvation is someone. And his name is Jesus. He was born a Savior. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, as we look at this name Jesus, you may be surprised, you may not be, to find that actually Jesus, actually not the name itself Jesus, but his Hebrew name is all over the Old Testament. And particularly when it's tied with the pronouns or the suffix, like thy, your, his, my. We see, actually find, if you look into the roots of these words, you find that it's exactly the same word as, and the word is Yeshua, which means salvation. So I just want to look just quickly for a couple of minutes at just some of these verses. Let's turn to Genesis 49:18. For the sake of time, I've got them already printed out on a sheet, so I'll, while you're turning them up, I'll just read them to you. Genesis 49:18 says this, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. And what I actually reads here in, I have waited for, and the word there, your salvation, is the word Yeshua, O Lord. I've waited for, we could translate, I've waited for Jesus, O Lord. I've waited for salvation. Then another one in the Psalms, this time, Psalm 53 and verse 6. Says this, oh that the salvation, or oh that Yeshua of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Wow. Oh that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. You know that the salvation of God, Yeshua, would come. Then the psalmist again in Psalm 106 and verse 4 this time. He says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation. Visit me with Yeshua. And there are over 100 instances of this word being used in this way. But let's look at just one more. Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12 verses 2 and 3. And it says, behold, God is my salvation. This would be a good verse for the JWs. You know, God is Yeshua, salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Three times in that verse, we have this word, Yeshua, meaning salvation. And it's exactly the same name, or the same word that's translated Joshua in the Old Testament, and the same, obviously, the Greek equivalent is Jesus, that we know. Then another name that was given him at birth, and in prophecy, is another name by which we know him. Although this technically isn't one of his names, this is a title. And that is that of Christ, or Messiah, depending on which language you want. Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew. And in Luke 2:11, I've already quoted it tonight, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, the angel gave this message to the shepherds as they were in the fields that night. You know, as they were watching over their flocks, keeping an eye on their sheep. They came with this message that the one called Christ had been born. Christ. You know, and this title, Christ, or Messiah, whichever one you want to use, means anointed or anointing. And when it's used in reference to Jesus, it's translated as the anointed or the anointed one. And we read this designation in Psalm 2, verse 2, where it says this. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You know that word, that name, that designation, that title is placed there in the Psalms. Against his anointed. Now, Messiah, or Christ. We know from scriptures, and we know from history as well, that the Christ was eagerly anticipated. You know, every godly Jew was eagerly awaiting the coming of the Messiah. He was the one that we learn from those two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. We read about them in Luke 24. We learn from them that he was the one that they were expecting to redeem Israel. And he did. He came to redeem Israel. But their idea of redemption wasn't quite in line with God's plan. They were looking at a type of warrior, a hero that will come and free them from Roman oppression, from the yoke and bondage of Rome. And the woman that Jesus met at the well in Samaria, we read about her in John's Gospels chapter 4. She was explaining to Jesus that we know that when Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. He'll tell us about worship, which mountain we should worship in. You know, she was looking at physical things, and she was saying that when Messiah comes, he's going to reveal all. He's going to make all things plain. Actually, that's what the scriptures say. Perhaps we can turn up Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Isaiah 2, verse 3 says this. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And there's another scripture in Deuteronomy 18, I'll just quickly read to you. Because here, Moses is speaking, he tells the people, those that he brought up out of Egypt, he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. You know, they're prophetically telling the people that God was going to raise up a prophet like him. And they would hear him. You know, they would listen to him. He would teach them the ways of the Lord. We find another couple of references to the anointed one of God, in the Psalms, Psalm 45, where the psalmist here writes, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7. You know, God has anointed you. And in my Bible that's used given a capital Y. You know, God has anointed him. He is the anointed one. Isaiah prophesies of the Messiah. And we know this because Jesus quoted this same scripture when he was preaching in Nazareth. In Isaiah 61, the prophet says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." And the prophecy goes on. But Jesus quotes that in Nazareth, and he says, today this scripture is being fulfilled, even in your hearing, he says to those that were listening to him. You know, he was the anointed of God. God speaking through the prophet Samuel. Says, "I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." The king prays in Second Book of Chronicles. He says, "O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David." You know, and this term is used by the prophets. It's used to talk about the Christ. And when the angels came and they announced that this day, the Savior who is Christ, the Lord, is born. Messiah had come. The one that they'd been eagerly waiting for had been born. You know, the one who was the anointed of God, the one who was going to teach them, and they misunderstood, but to free them, to save them from oppression, to deliver them, to open the eyes of the blind, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, as Isaiah prophesied. And then there's one other name that we're going to look at tonight. There are plenty more in the prophecies, and we'll, God willing, we'll look at those next week. But there's another one, and that's a name by which we know Jesus, and that's the name Lord, or the title Lord. And that very same scripture we've been reading in Luke's Gospel says, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus, who is Christ, the Lord." You know, he has this this threefold designation. The Lord, Jesus, Christ. Revelation 22 tells us that. And apart from the personal name of the name Jesus, this is the most frequently used designation for him in the New Testament. The Lord. This title denotes his authority, his dominion, and his deity. And it's equivalent to Jehovah in the Old Testament. You know, as we look at the scriptures, we look at, again, let me take you back to the Psalms, to Psalm chapter 2. We see here in this psalm, Psalm 2. Is it verse 7? Well, let's read verse 6 as well. We know this is talking about, it's talking about Jesus. It says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" You know, this, the Lord. Now that's Jehovah, but it's, the word is used here. It's It's an equivalent name. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. What did David say in Psalm 110? He says this in verse 1 of 110. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. You know, Jesus picked up on that in his discourse with those that were against him. And he said, well, why did David say this? If the Christ is David's son, he argues the point. He says, why did he say the Lord said to my Lord? You know, Peter quotes this verse in his Pentecost sermon. And we read this in Acts 2, verse 35. He's quoting this verse. It's very verse from the Psalm 110. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then he goes on in verse 36 and he says this, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. God has made this Jesus that he's been talking about, whom you crucified, he says, both Lord and Christ. This Jesus is Lord and Christ. He's the Lord. He's very God. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ, the one we've been waiting for. You know, and this designation, when we call him Lord, it's easy to call him Jesus. It's easy to call him the Christ. But when we call him the Lord, what we actually do as an act of worship, we're surrendering to him. We're surrendering our whole to him. Somebody once put it like this, says, we receive him as Savior, but we make him Lord. You know, and there are a lot of Christians that would rather try and leave the Lordship of Jesus out. Right. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Well, it was the great missionary to China and the founder of the China Inland Mission, his name was Hudson Taylor. And he once said this, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Now, we're truly blessed when we acknowledge him as Peter did on that day of Pentecost, when we call him the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him all that we are and all that we have. That means our hearts, our lives, our possessions. Everything we have, everything we are, we surrender to him. We make him Lord. So there's just three here. Three names or designations given to him at his birth. The angel announced to the shepherds, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord, our Lord. So, God willing, next week we're going to go on, we're going to look at some of the others. There are other designations, other names attributed to Jesus. Like the prophet Isaiah, that beautiful verse, and I love this verse in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, it says, he is wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the governor. He's the king. We read that designation already tonight, the king. And there are others, but God willing, we'll cover those next week. Amen.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.